just got back from talking to people we don't know about abortion, and now we're debriefing. Join us. We are Created Equal, and we're inviting you to debrief with us. Hey, y'all. I'm Lexi.
Hey, everyone. It's Seth again, and today we are debriefing a mind change, meaning someone who was pro-choice and now is pro-life. We hear this a lot, but this is an important one because we're going to talk about some scientific ignorance and also the influence of social media on how we think.
And joining us today, we have Esther. Esther started working with Created Equal a little over a year ago now, and she makes all of our graphics. She also is your go-to girl to talk about anything with apologetics or philosophy. If you kind of want your brain to explode a little bit or just sit you down a little confused, definitely have a conversation with Esther. She's just a little too smart for me sometimes. But anyways, getting into the conversation from the outreach we just were at Akron or University of Akron, Esther had, like Seth said, a conversation with somebody who completely changed their mind on abortion. So how did the day of outreach go in general? And then we'll touch on the specific conversation.
Yeah, so it was a slow day. So it's kind of like COVID type outreach. And usually what we mean by that is that slow, there's not a lot of students around. So they kind of trickle in and out. You have opportunities to talk to every single person that passes by, but it is like a slow, longer day. And we were hoping to do an open mic, like we talked about a few weeks ago, but because it was so slow, we weren't able to do that. So a lot of our team was really bored, but I had a great day. I had some good conversations, talking to people, and it was just kind of the encouragement I needed to kind of have that boost for outreach.
You might be projecting my perspective on everyone else, Esther. So I was there on campus that day, not so far from Esther, and I was having a slow day. It's true. So I may have said that I was bored, but the rest of the team, I think, had conversations too. I think I was the one who was struggling that day. And also for our audience, you do know Esther. Maybe you don't know you know her, but she's always in the room with us when we're debriefing, just usually sitting behind the soundboard, right, doing the producing. So anyhow, I think it's great that you had such a great day. I'm glad because that encouraged me. At the end of the day, when I had very few conversations, talking to you particularly about this one where the man changed his mind, that's always encouraging to me when I have a rough day.
Oh, yeah. Having other people around, like where you have other team members who they have had a good or bad day, just being able to come together and share those experiences is really helpful. Like, I had a terrible day. My conversation went terrible, but they had a mind changer. They had a really great conversation. It's always really encouraging. Like, there was a reason why we were out there.
Yeah. So getting into it, what was the conversation like that you were having with this guy? Do you know his name?
No, I introduced myself, but he didn't give me
Let's
his name.
Let's call him Jerry.
Jerry.
I feel like he's such a Jerry. I don't know.
Okay.
But I feel like it may be a little easier. So pretend this guy's name's Jerry. So how was your and Jerry's conversation? Where did he start out with in his views of abortion?
He was kind of quiet, but he stopped and talked with me. I asked him what he thought about abortion. He seemed kind of unsure, but said, like, I think it's a choice that women should have. So I asked him if all choices were equal, if there are such things as good and bad choices. And we gave the example of stealing someone's backpack. And so he agreed that there are some things that are wrong. And so then I asked him if abortion was a good or bad choice. He said he still thought it was a good choice, so it was something good. And so then I asked him if the unborn were human beings. And that kind of got him to stop, and he looked at me and he was like, well, are they living? I was like, yes. And so I walked him through the study of embryology and the evidence that we have for the humanity of the unborn and the fact that, yes, they are alive. Mm-hmm. So we walked through that, and once I shared with him that information, it was very quickly after that that he was like, okay, yeah, if they're human beings and they're alive, yeah, this is wrong.
So we're going to get to that audio, I think, pretty soon, where then you took him after that evidence you gave him. But I want to backtrack to something you did in the very beginning, right, where he was saying choices are fine, right? All choices are okay. You had a very simple object lesson. I think it's just fascinating to me how people have worldviews. They don't often think through to logical conclusions. All you did by asking about you stealing his backpack, right? Which presumably had one. He's a student at UA. He had a backpack. You thought it. You asked him about stealing his backpack. That instantly changed or showed him the failures of his worldview. That's a pretty powerful tactic you use there.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite questions when people say, oh, I'm pro-choice. I'm like, I do too. I love choices, but not all choices are good. And then all of them are right. And so that I feel like that's always a very helpful question to ask, because we celebrate this idea of choice when really not all choices are, in fact, equal.
Exactly. So let's get into the rest of this, and then I have a question that I want you to answer.
Okay.
So they are human beings, and we can see that scientifically. So the question then is it ever okay to intentionally kill an innocent human being?
If you put it like that, I don't think it is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's like messed up.
Mm-hmm. So if you look at like a 2-year-old right here, we wouldn't say it's ever okay to kill them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're a human being. It's wrong to kill innocent human beings. So I agree, from that logic, then abortion is always wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we look at back what you said about choice, like women should have a choice. Do you think this is a good or bad choice if it kills an innocent human being?
It seems like a bad choice now.
Yeah, right? We shouldn't use our bodies or our decisions to harm someone else. And when people do that, we recognize that it's wrong, right? When someone steals property that's not theirs or manipulates someone or abuses someone, that's wrong.
Yeah. Abortion is a wrong choice. That mm-hmm. should make it seem like that.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like, I guess, like outside the bubble of social media.
Yeah.
Wow.
Honest. I really like that guy. Jerry's a great
Thank you,
guy.
Jerry.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. So my question I want to ask you is for everybody listening, this may be really helpful. A lot of people think, oh, life beginning at fertilization, it's just a belief you have. It may be a religious argument, a religious belief we hold. It may be really a philosophical question. When does human life begin? But when you're giving the evidence for the humanity of the preborn, what do you tell people?
I encourage them to look at the study of embryology, which is the study of the beginning of human life in our earliest developmental stages. And so this is a scientific question that we're asking. Are they human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Are they biologically human? And so when we look at those earliest stages, when the egg and sperm fuse, then you have a separate human being. And a few ways we know that, they have their own unique DNA. They are directing their own development and they're growing. And as I told him earlier in the conversation, like dead things don't grow. Mm-hmm. If they are not alive, they're not going to be growing like that. And they're separate from the mother. You can see that with their DNA. A mother doesn't have two hearts or two separate sets of DNA. No, it's someone distinct and separate.
I love the way you're phrasing this. I think that was an important question, Lexi, right? Because people approach this and think, well, okay, when does life begin? The philosophical question, right? It's not a philosophical mm-hmm. question. Now, philosophy, religion, those things inform us whether something has value, right? But yeah. What something is, that is a scientific question. So scientific evidence can tell us not whether we should care about something, should we evaluate, but what is something? A purely scientific question. That's why you have pro-choice leading thinkers like Peter Singer from Princeton and others who eagerly, clearly admit that the human embryo, which is made from human sperm and egg, is a human being. And I think also relevant to this, for anyone listening, this is not one in, you know, one of... this is not just one singular conversation. We have mind changes all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hit the show notes. You can see a YouTube playlist where we all have conversations where we've seen people's minds change. Watch these videos and look for more tips just like this, what Esther's doing in her conversation.
Isaac would greatly appreciate it if you went and watched those videos.
Yes, Isaac makes all of our videos and they're definitely top tier. So you should definitely go check that out. But I just kind of wanted to go over really briefly the different tactics you were using in just that 1 minute or less snippet that we listened to. You used trotting out the toddler. You compared an injustice that would be done to a toddler and showing how that would be wrong. That was awesome. You used the pro-life syllogism. Quickly explain to them what the pro-life syllogism is.
It is always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. Abortion does that. Therefore, abortion is always wrong.
Awesome. And then I also thought it was so crucial towards the end of the clip there, you were referring back to the abortion victim image that we had on the sign and pointed to that and said, would that ever be okay? And so I think that also is something that puts in people's mind the reality of the humanity of the unborn, followed with you actually giving the other reasonings how we know they're a living human being, but showing that photo as well, showing that child actually torn apart, probably really impactful for this guy as well.
I have something just jumping in there. I think that's super important, Lexi. Now, I think that what you're getting to are all the tactics Esther has done to work toward changing his mind, right? Because that is our goal. We're out there to actually influence the way people think and feel about abortion, about preborn people. Now, I have had, when we're on campus before, people walk up to me and accuse us of Esther that day being there, saying that she's only virtue signaling, which is a very funny charge to level at us. But I'm curious, you know, kind of listening to her tactics, how she's moving through this, how would you contrast what she's doing, or Esther, what you were doing, with someone who is virtue signaling? How is this different from that?
Well, I'm not just standing there saying I'm better than you because of A, B, and C, because I believe this or that. But we were there to actually have conversations with people. It wasn't just a display. We were there reaching out and talking to people, like this guy, like, hi, what do you think about abortion? To help people think through that. And sometimes people change their minds. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they move an inch, or they think about it in a different way. So the goal is different. In virtue signaling, you're trying to say, I'm better than you because of what I believe. And this, it's saying, look, I get it. I've wrestled through these questions myself, and let me help you do that now.
Or at least, yeah, like, I'm so great. Look at me and my virtues that I hold, right? Yeah. It is about you, whereas you're making this about the other, the preborn person who we're trying to rescue. And by actually shifting other people's thinking, you're trying to open their hearts to them. It doesn't really matter what people think about you. Yeah. I mean, this guy left with a good impression of you, but that's ultimately not as important as what he thinks about the babies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we would probably be the worst virtue signalers ever.
Right.
Most people don't think we're very virtuous because of the beliefs we hold walking past us. And I always think to myself, well, even if this person thinks I'm a nut job for standing here next to a photo of a child who is brutally murdered through abortion, if they think less of abortion because of that, then my job is done. Like, I'm really grateful, and I don't care if none of us here at Created Equal obviously care what people think, or we wouldn't be able to do this. No, we wouldn't even last a few minutes at outreach before people would start yelling at us. So, but moving on from that, it was something that was really interesting that I haven't come into contact with a lot during conversations, but he mentioned that his pro-choice position was kind of rooted in social media.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Seth, I want you to kind of give your input on, why do you think social media has kind of made people think less critically about their moral positions that they're holding?
This is a really important point. And I do think there's a book we should mention in the show notes called 12 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You, a book I read several years ago, fantastic book, talking about the influence of technology on us. It's not all necessarily by definition wrong, but it does influence our thinking. And we know that social media, you know, we could talk about, spend a lot of time talking about reducing big arguments to tweets and to memes, and those are good conversations. But one of the biggest things I think he referred to is the bubble of social media, where you get stuck in kind of an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. Left, right, all around, we can do this, right? The algorithm starts filtering out the other ideas. They want you to keep pursuing things you're going to click on and be interested in. And so they're giving you people who hold views you already hold. So this gentleman probably never encountered someone like Esther before, who was going to present the opposing idea beyond a really short soundbite in an actually well thought out way. So yes, I think he is showing us the dangers of even something that seems innocuous, social media. You're staying in contact with other people. Good idea, right? Not so good idea when you get an echo chamber and stop interacting with others who hold different views from your own.
Yeah, and so I make a lot of our memes and graphics for
social media.
This
is interesting having you talk about this, right?
And I had so much trouble at the beginning because I like the broader arguments and getting into the weeds of things, and it's difficult to get that into a small one-by-one graphic. Trying to reach the heart of the issue and really give good information without it sounding pithy or just small. Like, those sometimes get a lot of likes, they go viral, but there's not always a lot of substance. And so there's always that battle of like trying to make it accessible but have value in it. And so it's becoming very difficult. So a lot of what you see on social media are these like little pithy lines and quips, these little gotcha quotes that you have on both sides. So that's part of the reason you don't have people on social media really diving into these things, these ideas, because it's a terrible place to have a conversation.
Yeah, it is much harder to have a conversation with somebody. I'm sure most people listening to this have had some level of interaction with somebody that you disagree with on social media, and how hard it is to communicate over DMs or in the comment section of anything. It's kind of a nightmare. But I think that people just have to, like, especially us who are against abortion, we're going against the mainstream culture on social media. It's covered with shout your abortion. They're using stories. They're using just like quick slogans, like Esther was saying, to really move people's hearts and to make people locked in, like, oh, this is the moral position to be for abortion. So to counteract that, we need to not only have a presence on social media, I think that's important, but going deeper and connecting people one-on-one. Like this guy, Gary, is it Gary?
I thought it was Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. Sorry, Gary, for calling you the wrong name. I made up for you.
if you're watching, listening to this, please reach out to us. We want to correct it with your real name. Yes, we'll redo the episode.
Yes. We'll like just beep over it and put your real name. Anyways, sorry, Jerry, Gary, whoever you are out there. But you, Esther, having this conversation with him was way more impactful. It was probably a few minutes long, way more impactful than years of him on social media.
And think about also the power of, I think this gets us back to what we've circled around a few times on the podcast, and that is the importance of the victim imagery. Because so if you're stuck in that social media bubble, not normal, not used to interacting with different ideas, you need something to kind of shake you out of the bubble. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to shake you out? Imagery showing the very thing we're talking about. So the victim photos are, again, essential for this dialogue.
Yeah, and he said a couple times, I never really thought about it this way. As I was walking him through the evidence of their humanity, I didn't really think about that in that way, or haven't really looked into this.
So can I ask you now, Esther, so kind of bring full circle. So someone is listening, they think, okay, I understand. I need to know the case for life, a case against abortion. I understand that I may see mine change, may not see mine changes. But when someone says, yes, I agree with you now, what do you do tactically afterward then to kind of prove, if you will, that the mind actually has been shifted a bit?
Sometimes it's difficult because this one I got flustered because I wasn't used to it. It's been a while since someone's changed their mind. So like apparently like gone from, I think it's a good thing to, oh no, this is wrong. And so sometimes we ask a clarifying question saying, okay, do you believe it's always wrong? Like, do you think there's ever any case where you could maybe still justify this? And sometimes at that point, you'll get into conversations about the life of the mother or if someone is a victim of rape, or sometimes they'll bring up, well, what if they're poor and different things? And so you'll walk through those arguments as well, just kind of help them solidify in their brain, okay, if they are a human being and if it's wrong to kill human beings, what do we do with these circumstances that are hard? Mm. And so that's one thing. And then usually I'll talk to people and say, okay, so what are we going to do about this then? And like with this guy, I asked him if he knew how many abortions happened every day, which is around 2,300 every day in the United States. And that kind of helps like solidify like the weight of what's happening. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, yes, this is wrong. And this is something that's happening a lot in our country. So it's not something to like, oh yeah, I think it's wrong now and move on. Those couple questions help like solidify, okay, yeah, this is wrong. It's always wrong. And so those are ones that we usually ask towards the end of a conversation to try to clarify or recap anything we've talked about.
Well said. And yes, anyone who's listening to want to review the case and those specific objections you just recently mentioned, Esther, like sexual assault or the life of the mother, you can not only review episode, I believe it was 2, where we talked to Cole about sexual assault, but also we can put the link in the show notes to our frequently asked questions, how to respond to these big objections. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. What you're doing tactically is very important there, because it's, you know, when someone says their mind has been changed on abortion, that's very, very good. They're going to walk away already with the case, they've seen abortion, that's probably as strong, but you want to kind of just push back a little bit, because they're going to be pushed back a lot when they go back and tell their friends, hey, I think abortion's wrong now. And we want to kind of make sure they're ready for that. Mm-hmm. By walking them through those objections.
And I usually try to make sure they have access to usually like our frequently asked questions, or they have our email, so that they can, as they work through it or people bring up objections, that they have somewhere where they can go for more information to learn more.
Excellent. That's a really important point, I think, to end on, because everyone should hopefully know where those resources are too. So when they have conversations, they can refer to them. So that's important. Esther, I'm so glad you've walked away from the soundboard to sit with us today to talk this conversation.
Hopefully it'll have to happen again soon.
It encouraged me that day on campus. It's encouraging to me again now as we have this conversation, because I know that many people will be inspired by your example. And that's the goal. We're a community learning together. So everyone, as you're listening, please keep following us along with this as we're building this podcast. These stories, share them with other people, because many people who want to get or who would get involved just don't know how to. You can share this with them to bring them into it. So you know the drill. Please subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. You can also find us on our social media or just go to createdequal.org. But thank you so much for joining us for, again, this conversation. We'll have another one next week. Thank you. We are Created Equal. This has been The Debrief.